The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Just as a throwback to the last hour, Bob brought up an interesting point. He said if it's like most conventions, everybody would get drunk and fight anyway. So
it would not end well.
It would not end well. So I guess if you're still up in the air about convention of the states, that's another point to ponder.
Well, especially if the hookers show up late, you know, they're all going to be unhappy.
Nice. Yeah. Nice lead-in for Pastor Asherman. That's lovely, Bill.
Well, I'm sorry. I have no faith in anybody they would send to represent us in today's world. They'd be the most immoral bunch of people I think we could ever assemble.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sorry.
Oh, is that where you were going? Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yikes.
I'm just, I'm very disillusioned with.
It just kind of struck me.
Our representation.
Well, and the people who
we might have more morality with the hookers than with the Washingtonians.
That's going too far.
We're going to double down. I told you to put the headphones on. I didn't tell you they were going to burn your ears. Oh my gosh. Well, just in case you weren't having any fun. Pastor Guy Asherman is here from Reading Christian Fellowship. Well, actually, he's here from someplace else, I'm sure, like your house or something. But
no, actually, I just came
you did,
from
just,
our services.
You
yes.
just
yeah.
raced over?
Yes.
Well, at least we're not 8 to 10. See, when we were 8 to 10 in the morning,
Couldn't make it.
A deal breaker. So we're happy to have afternoons. Okay, so how'd you get into this pastor business anyway? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Since I've known you for a while and I've never asked that question.
Sure. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not a church goer.
Yeah. Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah. At the age of 22, living like all 22-year-olds did and still do, there was, I'm not sure how to explain it other than the Lord began to speak to me. It was Easter season in 1977. I was two.
And, I was a sophomore in high school.
And so the message of Easter and a film that was released that year was called Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, yeah.
And that film had a great impact on my heart. And I'm not sure why. It was highly unusual for me to even consider, even watch it.
What did you think you were going to do when you grow up?
I was going to be a ranch manager. In fact, I was in college to become a ranch manager. And I grew up in ranch country and worked on ranches. And so I have a degree in agriculture.
Well, who knew?
Yeah, and after I got my degree in agriculture, I went out and planted a church. So, you know.
Yeah, that's an interesting
Well, you know, the
twist.
Bible says a lot about agriculture, you know.
It sure does.
You will reap what you sow
and
those sorts of things.
And the mustard seed and, you know, I mean,
Man, we had some sheep for a while, and I'll tell you what, after you deal with real sheep, the Bible's kind of offensive. You know, it's like, what the heck? I don't want to be the sheep.
They're not real smart.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's how leaderless we are, and we follow whoever's out in front. And so we are sheep, and that's why we need strong leadership. That's why we need the Word. That's why we need churches to take a stand. And
I'm just
that's
shocked.
Kind of the big. That's sort of the biggie here is the churches are not necessarily taking a stand.
Well, they've taken.
You're not going to
prayer.
Talk about hookers again, are you? Because
no,
otherwise we're going to take your
hookers.
Okay.
But I just, you know, they've taken pretty much everything religion out of schools, out of government, and it's just snowballing so fast right now. And you look at where our country's going. I'm not sure we can stop it at this point because nobody is stepping forward to lead us out of this
in the direction we really need to go. If you just landed here, you know, not as a baby but as a grown-up, you know, if you just popped in out of nowhere, you would think that everyone in this country was a gay atheist. I mean,
they get all the attention.
It looks like this is just the most prevalent thing, and, you know, I think that's odd.
Well, people are afraid of being shouted down. They're afraid of being labeled. And, of course, that's exactly what's happening to anybody who disagrees with their agenda, that you're suddenly you're a bigot, you're a worthless human being.
Yep, you're a hater.
And so we cower. And we don't hate people. We love people. Whatever choices they make in life does not change our love for them. But we are also here to expound what God says about all of the choices that we make in life. Whether it's heterosexual issues or homosexual issues, the Lord speaks to both of those.
I was going to say, there's restriction on all of it. You know, it isn't like somebody's getting a pass.
There's a whole lot more said about heterosexual sin than there is homosexual sin in the Scriptures. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the thought that occurred to me as you had mentioned, Bill, that how are we going to turn this thing around? The thought that occurred to me is this, that humanism has been taught in the public schools for decades and decades, okay? The Scopes trial was in 1925, with that trial then and the conclusion of it, they allowed evolution to be taught alongside of creation. And since that time, of course, evolution has pushed creation out, and we can only... if there was no God, why would we have any faith in this country at all? Because I went through 18 years of secular education, and I still believe.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people alive in this country today went through secular education, the public school system, and yet 90% of us still believe there's a God. So there's something at work here that's more powerful than what we see with the eye, because it's very easy for us to become discouraged. That, you know what, we've got the universities are working against us, mm-hmm. the schools are working against us. And I just want to be able to say that there is hope. It could turn around, and it'll be because the Lord desires it to be turned around. And what we need to do is we need to encourage people who do have convictions to not give up. Don't draw back. Don't crawl into a corner and hide. This is the time, especially right now, that we're supposed to take a stand and be vocal about what it is we believe.
And there are a lot of people who agree. Okay,
yes.
So let's talk about a real example, because we've got folks in the chat room bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
You had a morality rally.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to say all very fast. You have to sort of separate that out.
Right.
A morality rally at your church, and mm-hmm. it was on a Wednesday night at 5:30,
yes.
So it was outside of your regular mm-hmm. Service time.
Yes.
And it was pretty short notice.
Very short notice.
Like a couple of weeks or?
Oh, not even that. A couple of days.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Because Congressman LaMalfa, it was only on Saturday of the prior to the Wednesday that we had agreed, okay, let's do it on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And so only from Saturday on, and I did it through announcements, I did it through emails,
sure.
We did it through Facebook. So with 4 days' notice, we turned out a pretty good group of folks.
Yeah.
I think it's just it's a topic that I think there's more people out there that want to hear it mm-hmm. than not.
Yes.
And you're right. It's going to take somebody with leadership skills to bring those people out.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to have to realize, you know, it's interesting. You don't necessarily have to have one person who's super dynamic, but if I'm working on a project that hasn't quite gotten started, and I'm finding there are a lot of people who are thinking the same way, and mm-hmm. so I met with a lady for lunch, and then she said, well, hey, how about so-and-so? And then we all sat there and said, well, how about so-and-so and so-and-so? You know, we came mm-hmm. up with all these different people. It's like, hey, they all think like we do. We don't know really where we want to go. We don't know what we want to call it. You know, there's not a mm-hmm. specific track for it, but we all know that we need to fill this niche.
Yes.
And I think that this is the same way. So we are a town, for the folks that will listen to this on the East Coast, we are a city with 90,000 people. So the people in Philadelphia are like, what? Their churches have more than 90,000 people. So we're in a relatively small area in the rural northern part of California. Your church is I would think your church is one of the bigger ones in our area.
Probably.
And you're called, I know it's Redding Christian Fellowship, but mm-hmm. what does that mean?
Well, the word fellowship, of course, emphasizes the need for people who of belief to be in relationship with one another.
Right.
We are a church. And, of course, the word church simply means assembly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word means. So we can call it assembly, we can call it church, we can call it fellowship. The main thing is that we're a body of believers who covenant together to faithfully serve the Lord and to reach the lost in any way we can.
And are you a school, too?
No, we're not. There is a Redding Christian school in town, but it
yeah,
is not affiliated with Redding Christian Fellowship.
Okay. Yeah. So, this is... you know, open, obviously, to anybody who wants to come. People follow your church, I know, just, you know, because you have events and you have speakers, and you guys do a lot with the Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. The Rescue Mission has their graduation there every year for their program. So when you told people you were doing a morality rally, did people say, oh, great, or was it, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Were they worried?
I don't think anybody was too worried, you know. Sometimes I might make the other leadership in the church a little bit nervous. You know, what's Guy doing now? And, you know, under normal circumstances, of course, that would have gone through all of the channels. It would have been done well, but I had no time.
Sure.
And so Congressman Lamalfa says, I'm going to be there. And I said, good. So I made the date, and then I asked for forgiveness instead of permission.
And, I like doing it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fan.
but our leadership was very much in support of what we ended up doing there. So,
and then you invited all sorts of other churches.
Yes.
I don't know how many, but...
Probably 35 or 40 other churches.
Okay.
And how many showed up?
One.
One pastor.
One pastor.
Yeah, not necessarily people. People out there that are going, hey, I was there.
And considering the subject matter, why didn't they show up?
Well, number one, it was short notice.
Absolutely.
Number two, a lot of churches have events on Wednesday night. Some of them have Awana. Some of them have their own Bible studies and prayer meetings and stuff. So we started at 5:30 with the hopes that they could still get in some of the time. I was actually hoping that they would have brought their Wednesday group with them.
You know, yeah, sure.
Right.
We could have put 1,000 people in there that night.
Yeah, that would have made sense. That would have been.
Yeah.
That would have fallen right in.
And so I emphasized that with the folks that I contacted on Saturday, so they would have had time to have announced it on Sunday and says, hey, on Wednesday we're going to go over to RCF. Part of the problem, too, is that I don't want people to think that this is the ministry of Reading Christian Fellowship. This is community.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
No, this
is an issue that goes beyond the walls of any of our churches, and I don't want people to feel like we're empire building or that we're making it about us. We're not. I mean, if it's going on, I don't have to be a part of it. It's just that nobody else is doing it.
Sure. Right. Well, and you guys have a big place. You can fit how many? 1,000 people in there?
Not, you think? About 800 max.
So what do you think? There were like 300 there, maybe?
Probably. Yeah.
I'm kind of a rotten estimator, but
we've also had
a lot of people.
We had about 300, maybe 250 to 3, and we also have had more than 300 people who have watched our video of that event after we had the event.
Said it was short notice. How short notice was it?
I learned on Saturday, and we had it the following Wednesday. So there wasn't a lot of time to promote it. So
And you had Shelley Gibbs there from CareNet, which, as I learned right before the program, is a national organization.
Yes.
And I didn't put any of their stuff on here. Do you know right off the top of your head? I know that they work with people women and families who are pregnant.
Right. And, you know, they do a great job. Shelley does a great job. There are CareNet agencies all across the country. And... you know, they are there to say, we're not just going to shake our finger at you and say you shouldn't lose your baby to abortion. They're there to help people if they decide to keep their baby, to have their baby and give them the resources that are necessary. And, you know, we see the need for this more and more, that we have to be able to help these women take their baby full term. And then if they adopt out or if they keep or whatever, they need people to come alongside and love them and show them there's a better way to live.
So, good mix. Mm-hmm. You had a pastor, you had an elected official, you had CareNet, and it was kind of an open dialogue type of a thing surrounding really the Planned Parenthood videos.
Let me also say that our church supports another organization here in town that's called Life Light. Life Light is on Bocelli, right next to the Planned Parenthood building, as God would have it. And we support that organization as well, and we're very, very pleased to be a part of that organization.
Nice. And I will post the video of that event on here. I was kind of looking for it while we were talking, and I'm flunking out.
Okay.
So we'll find that. We need to take a really quick break, and in that 2 minutes, I'll find it and post it.
Okay.
How's that grab you?
Sounds good.
All right. So we're here with Pastor Guy Asherman. We're talking about, I don't know, you know, how about we'll just say morality.
Okay.
Not like we're the be-all and end-all. Obviously, we've got Bill here for the balance. We'll be right back. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Well, you filled up my head
so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Could I swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. No, you wouldn't do it. And you haven't, my baby.
I'm a woman in love, and I'm
I was like, what song is this? Classic.
Best pro-life song ever.
I don't know. I'm glad it didn't just strike me funny. Kind of came at me out of left field there. Oh, my gosh. All right. You've rejoined We the People. You can tell by the laughing, obviously. It's the same folks that were here before. All right. We're speaking with Pastor Guy Asham, and we're talking about, I don't know, morality, I guess, in general. Planned Parenthood in specific.
Mm-hmm.
So I've linked the morality rally on there. There was quite a bit of good information on there. So if people want to go see that, that's a easy click on the website. Okay, so pastors out there in the big world, not just, you know, here in town, but out in the big world, kind of worried about doing stuff like this?
It has become an issue that we're not supposed to become involved with politics. And frankly, that is what the liberals promote. But the irony of it is that the liberal church has been using the church for decades and decades to promote their agenda. And we have just kind of fallen in line with what people are accusing and saying about political involvement in the conservative church. And then, of course, somebody throws at us that you're going to lose your tax-exempt status if you talk about this kind of stuff. Well, those are lies.
Yeah,
they're not
totally
true.
Lies.
And so the other, I think some of this is that conservative people are very law-abiding people. And so if they've been taught that this is illegal, they just kind of normally comply, as opposed to maybe folks on the other side who don't care.
Willing to kind of color outside the lines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so, let me give you a for instance. 70% of the people in this country believe there has to be some restrictions on abortion. That's a huge majority of people. And yet, why aren't we out there banging that drum? And we're afraid to be leaders. We're afraid that we'll get on the radar of the wrong people. And by the way, this happens. Let me give you an example. Two or three years ago, one of the members of our church was a businessman, and he was working on the Proposition 8 to try to get marriage defined as a man and a woman. And in his business location was attacked by local people, even in Redding, California, that opposed him for being a bigot, for trying to promote marriage between a man and a woman. And so there's another part of this, too, that says, you know, the folks that disagree with us will take any option available to them to try to silence us. And so, you know, we do color within the lines. We do play fair. We do keep the law. And that puts us at a tremendous disadvantage,
oh,
if you would, because they don't have to play by the rules. It's kind of like arguing with a teenager, you know?
Or a five-year-old.
Yeah. They can say anything they want, and then you try to apply logic to try to convince them. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and they come back at you with something crazy again.
Yeah.
Well, so that keeps people quiet.
It does.
And they think that they're just... But in your church, how do you... I mean, churches are about morality.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you talk about morality and leave out that really big piece of the puzzle?
Well, I think our churches do teach morality. I think that they do help their people. I think they want to strengthen and encourage them, but they're afraid to take it across into the political arena because they're not sure that that's what the church is supposed to do.
Sure.
And so I think there's confusion there. I think there needs to be some education there. Because if not for the churches, we wouldn't have had the United States of America over 200 years ago. Because
pastors were, the Black Robe Regiment, they were a huge factor.
Sure, and the signers of the Constitution and the Declaration, they were seminary graduates. Some of them were pastors. And even if they weren't pastors, they were still seminary graduates because that's all they had We, you know, the Christians were the one who planted the schools there. So, you know, the philosophy of a good life and living right permeated our culture because that's what our educational institutions were trying to promote. Well, we know what our institutions are promoting now. They're promoting nonsense.
Yeah. Well, okay, so just as a what if we're talking about abortion as a life issue, which obviously it is, and it didn't have anything to do with federal funding, then I guess it wouldn't be considered a political issue?
No, I think it would be. It has been. We've gotten silent on it.
That's what I mean. I think the funding is the political side of it, you know, how the tax dollars are spent.
Right.
But the concept of of life...
Still an issue. I think that the Planned Parenthood debacle of the last couple of months has refueled the fires and the concerns that we've always had. It's just created a way for us that we need to ride. And
it's a huge open door.
And the other thing too is that, you know, we don't think that if we march the streets that we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Okay, it's been around a really long time. I hope someday it gets overturned. But we're going to attack at least what's on the front burner. We want to make some kind of an impact on the issues that everybody knows is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The issue now is that Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts for money. And
we're paying for it.
And we're paying for it. Therefore, it gives us an opportunity. The Lord kind of opened up a door of opportunity for us to say, okay, let's use this. And, you know, the fact that it's happening is one thing. The fact that you and I are paying for it is even worse because that makes us culpable.
I was going to say, we're complicit at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shelley brought up an excellent point. She said, you know, for years, I was talking to my mom about this too because she was part of the pro-life movement years ago. You know, 5 kids in 7 years, I guess you're pretty pro-life. And I remember them going to meetings and stuff. I was a kid. I had no idea what they were doing. But I asked her, I said, back then, what was the discussion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed much.
Mm-hmm.
It really hasn't changed. Those guys locked on to tissue and the blob of cells.
The fetus.
And the fetus. All these, like, kind of benign terms that sounded sort of non-person.
Yeah.
And now for it to have morphed into baby body parts.
Right.
And here they are with tweezers holding up a leg, which is horrific.
Right.
However, it's a leg.
Yes.
So no more are we going to talk about these aren't people.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are people.
Yes.
And everyone knows it.
And you know, and those who are pro-choice, which means pro-abortion, it's a little bit amazing to me that they're still holding their ground. After what Planned Parenthood has done, they are unashamedly standing up and saying, we need Planned Parenthood, they do good things for this, and we need to keep funding them. And, you know, if they're that, they're shameless. Right?
Yeah,
but why do you think...
It's women's health, right?
Yeah.
But why do you think the majority of Christians in this country, regardless of what church they go to, regardless of where their pastor stands on political issues, why have they remained silent? Why aren't they recognizing that we have a huge problem here and they're not stepping up and making their church address these issues?
Right. Well, I think the community of the church, I think that the folks who are a part of all of the communities here or anywhere are very much aware that these are issues, are very much aware of where they stand. They are convinced in their own heart and mind that what they believe is the right thing. That's not mine, is it? No.
I don't know. Okay. Somebody's fries are done.
Yeah. And so, you know, the issue is, you know, how do we get outside of our walls and have an impact upon our community? But the secular community has been pushing us into a corner for decades now. But the idea of being involved with pro-life, the church, you know, back here 20, 30 years ago, was not silent on this. I mean, if you remember, people were protesting and going to jail over this issue.
Mm-hmm. No, right.
And as a result of that, guess what happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
The lawmakers, the attorneys, the politicians, nothing was ever changed. I happen to think, however, that tide could be turning right now. that with the audacity of what is taking place, I think that America is getting to the place now where they're going to say, enough is enough.
Yeah.
It's time to start listening to these churches, that they're not a bunch of wacko, you know, redneck, right-wingers,
sure.
radical.
Haters.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there might be a couple of them, but, you know, I associate proudly with Bible-believing people. I'm not ashamed of that.
Well, they've tried to make that bad, too.
Of course.
Because that makes us, you know, knuckle-draggers.
Yes.
You know, gun-toting Bible readers.
So, like, so we're the uncivilized ones.
Yeah.
While they're, you know, while they're destroying their babies, we're the uncivilized ones.
Right.
But because they have education, because they have degrees after their name, because they've gone to institutions of higher learning, which is really lower learning.
Which assumes that people who have an education don't read the Bible.
No.
Which is totally false.
In fact, it's laughed at in the universities. Why would they do that? I when I was in school, you know, eons ago when dinosaurs reigned the earth, I was in my early 20s and I was a brand new Christian. And so there was a course that was offered that was called The Bible as Literature.
Oh, there you go.
So I thought, well, I'll read through this and see what they have to say about it. The guy was an atheist who taught it, and he laughed at it while we were taking the Bible as literature. So that was as close as I could get to the Bible in a secular university.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
That's pretty, even back,
and that's really where it all
even back
of,
then, yeah.
Even back then, the so same time I was started. The same time I was in college.
Yeah, and that's kind of where it started. I mean, once they take it out of the schools,
yeah.
and you know, people go through the system, they come out of the system, they have no knowledge. Right. They have, and it's okay. It's now society says it's okay not to have any of that.
Right.
And if you want to go out and dabble in it on your own, that's okay too. But
just don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah,
that's
well,
right.
It's interesting too because as we have gone down that road, it's a little scary because some of these other, you know, the Muslims and those guys,
mm-hmm.
they just plan to outpopulate us.
Yes.
Well, gee, what a great idea.
They have more religious freedom in this country than Christians do.
Yeah.
That's the current culture.
Well, we're allowing them to come here for religious reasons, but the Christians are locked out. Mm-hmm. So there's that little problem going on, too.
Yeah.
A lot of little problems we've got. We've got quite a long list. We can't really say any of them are big problems because there are so many. They can't all be big.
Right. Collectively, they're huge.
Collectively, it's ginormous.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a really quick break, and then we have a caller who wants to ask you a question. And
okay.
Look, we're already behind. What the heck? Bob, how are we doing? Ready to push the button on us? You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You're listening to We the People. I have posted that Morality Rally link on the We the People page. So Wow, that whole thing is really hard to say. On the We the People page, we have a morality rally link right there by Guy Asherman's picture of you and your lovely wife. And we have Sally on hold, who has a question or a comment.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to thank Pastor Asherman for holding the morality rally. I attended, and I have to say I was disappointed that so few of our local pastors attended. But that being said, I just wanted to say that the gentleman before this segment, the pastor from back east, who is also a constitutionalist, just made a really good point in the fact that the Roe v. Wade case is not law, that the Supreme Court cannot make law, and that it only applied to Roe and Wade. So I think perhaps maybe that is the way we need to go, and perhaps it needs to start here. What do you say, Pastor Asherman?
I quite agree with that, but the courts are not all that concerned with implementing existing law. The activist court on any level is about creating law and trying to change society. They are all about social change because they know better for us than we know what we really need. Yeah. So it's a very arrogant thing. And the surprising thing to me is that, the founders gave us three branches of government so they could hold each other accountable, and I don't know what's going on with our Congress that this isn't being challenged more. In fact, some of the executive orders are also making law, and the latest SCOTUS decision, of course, that also created law. I don't know why this isn't being challenged, to be honest.
Well, part of it is they are so afraid of what the press will do to them if they, quote, shut down the government, that they're afraid to stand on this hill. I mean, if there isn't a hill to die on, what is if it's not life?
I think you're right. I think we are afraid of media. I think that we're afraid that we'll be cast in a bad light and we might lose our job or we won't get reelected. But I think that more and more of our legislators are waking up and more of them are being elected that says, this is not about my career. This is not about whether or not I'm going to get reelected. This is about what is right, and I'm going to answer to God for it. So we have
That vote will be coming up in October, and we're watching closely to see how our representatives vote, aren't we?
That's on the funding of Planned Parenthood. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
We will see, and the churches and conservative folks need to get the word out and let people know how these folks are voting.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Sally. I'm glad you called.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, at the end of the day, all those people, even the ones in the Senate, because the Senate already failed, I guess, on the defunding.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't pull enough votes to overcome
override
a veto. You need 60.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that we couldn't get six Democrats to come over the line.
Yeah. Well, there was a few Democrats that did come over, but just not enough to get over the veto thing. But I'm guessing that the last one or two holdouts, they hadn't told anybody how they were going to vote yet. There is so much deal making that goes on in Washington. She was paid off somehow, or he was paid off somehow, in order to get their vote to go one direction.
Well, it was interesting because if I could just pull it up real quick. Of course, I can't. I don't remember where I read it. I will pull it up and post it, though. It was in my email on the money that the donations from Planned Parenthood linked groups. It was huge.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was huge.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I don't know. I don't really think of them as a big money thing. I think of them more as the hammer, you hate women.
Yeah.
That's usually what it turns into, is it's all about women, and if you're a man, you should just shut up.
Right. And, of course, since we're peaceful, law-abiding citizens, we don't go break the windows of the businesses that support Planned Parenthood. But if we support the conservative voice, they do come and break our windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do. It's not a level playing ground. We play by the rules. And by the way, we need to play by the rules. We need to keep doing that. We don't want to discredit ourselves with becoming like them. I think we take a stand and
I think what you're hearing from a lot of folks are, maybe we need to break a few windows in order to get back on the right track, but you just can't do that.
Here it is, plannedprofithood.org.
Hmm.
I knew I posted this. Yeah, Planned Prophethood. That was an easy one, easy one to go to, and exposing the people who profit. Yeah. And it literally gives you a way to put in your name and your state. You know, the representative's name, mm-hmm. And your state, or just the state, and you can see who in your state
is supporting.
Is being supported by these guys, which might make sense of some of the. I mean, some of the cash is big. Here you have $26,000, $22,000, $19,000. I mean, these are fairly hefty contributions.
Yeah.
So anyway, and they're in all different places, all different states, New York, California, Minnesota, Iowa, Florida, a lot in Florida, Minnesota, I mean, you would think it would be mostly here.
Sure, and I think we need to contact, you know, our representatives, even if they're not our individual ones here, because, you know, we're quite happy with Brian Daly, we're quite happy with Congressman LaMalfa, we're certainly not happy with our federal senators in this state. But whether there are senators or others, other states, I think we still need to be in contact with them, and we need to get organized better.
And the churches, you know, have connections in other states as well.
Sure, you know, denominations and stuff.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And so what about the folks in those towns?
Mm-hmm.
You know, reach out to them. What are they doing? Because if they're the constituents, that makes a big difference.
Sure.
I don't know. Seems like there's always a lot of money in the in doing the wrong thing. And apparently selling baby body parts is lucrative.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
Bill, you had mentioned that people are so frustrated right now, they're thinking maybe we need to break some windows. Maybe we need to get back on track by saying, and I would say, take that energy and take that passion to prayer, and also take it to the local organizations that are pro-life, and roll up your shirt sleeves and go to work. Go help Shelley here at CareNet. Go help others. Get your local church involved. Talk to your pastors. And, you know, so yes, you're frustrated, but channel it into a good, positive way to spread the word that we need to be doing something.
Yeah, anarchy, Bill.
No, I'm not. That's not me. I'm not saying that. I just know that we have gone so far astray that it just almost seems like it's just too far to come back from.
It's not even considered polite to talk about it.
Don't talk about politics or religion.
Yep.
And I do both.
Yeah. Well, everybody does now. That used to be, you know, you don't ever do that. But now you can't have a conversation with somebody, and in 5 minutes you're talking about one or the other.
Yeah. That part's kind of cool.
It is good.
It is.
Yeah.
That's
is.
Changed quite a bit. But at church, it was interesting. We had a month and a half ago, we had a brand new priest. It was like his very first mass. Oh, my gosh. He hit gay marriage, abortion. He had three third rail issues, and I thought, I guess you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Good
willing,
for him.
Yeah, willing to preach on all of those and take a definitive stand.
Absolutely.
So,
good for him.
I think if we quit, I think maybe if we shine some light in the shadows and we made it not quite so easy to hide from that, that would be useful.
Sure.
So, like the CareNet guys, you were saying that there's a bill here in California now that's going to... Why don't you...
It's already passed. I think it was Assembly Bill 775. Shelley talked about it on the video that Erin just posted on her website. And in a nutshell, very, very briefly, 775... was a bill that required, among other things, some good, some not so good, but the part that we really got hung up on was the requirement for CareNet pregnancy centers, pro-life nonprofit organizations, had to give their clients directions on where to go and how to get an abortion. And, of course, you know, pregnancy centers are all about not doing that. And so this gets, again, back to the purse strings, that there is a threat that is made that if you guys don't promote abortion, we're going to take away your tax-exempt status, and you're also, you may have to go to jail for this. And I got to tell you, Shelley didn't say this in the rally, but I've heard her say it before in our church during one of our services. She says, you know what? Take me to jail.
Off we go.
Because us serving jail time is minimal compared to the murder of even one baby. And we've murdered 55 million of them in this country.
Well, and you look, people are adopting children from all sorts of foreign countries.
Yeah.
Because I guess we have some kind of shortage. I'm no expert researcher on that, but
I actually think the church is going to do some changes on this. I think that the church needs to step up and say, I'll take your baby and I'll raise your baby for you. Don't kill him. And that's when the church is getting serious, right? Instead of just, you know, shaking our philosophical finger at people, we're actually saying, no, we're going to save lives. And it's that important. I think we should be doing that.
I think you're right. All right. I just wanted to...
It's funny, though. You never hear that option. They never talk about, hey, have the baby. If you don't want it, there's millions of people out there that would love to have that baby and raise that baby as their own.
Sure.
But it's like that's really not an option. It's the woman's right to have the abortion.
And it doesn't create cash for the people who do abortions.
Yeah.
So they're not going to say, let's promote adoption.
Right. Well, and they don't get into the whole idea of what happens after the fact. How does the dad feel about that down the road?
Right.
How does the mom feel down the road?
Well,
there
are
plenty of people who regret these types of decisions because they felt boxed in.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because some of your listeners might be a little bit concerned that this is very condemning, that this is making them feel badly.
No,
this
everybody knows people who've been through this, and unfortunately they felt boxed in made decisions in a lot of cases. I know in the one I'm thinking of, they didn't tell anyone in their family.
Sure.
Not because the family wouldn't have supported, but it was just really kind of out of the realm.
No other option for
them. And they
felt
like they didn't have any choice. They were young.
Right.
They go in and somebody says, oh, honey, it's no big deal. People do it all the time.
Right.
That is powerful.
Yeah. And
a
then,
powerful
of course,
switch to
when
flip.
They get older, they find out that this was something a little bit more specific.
Yeah, there was a little more to it than that.
Yeah. But to those who are listening who have had abortions, I think it's important for the church to send a very strong message that says the love of God and the support of the church is there for you. We love you. You're no bigger a sinner than I am.
No. Yeah.
And let's not send a message that just condemns people. Let's send a message of healing to all people, wherever they have at times in the past fallen on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to make sure that we don't become what the pro-abortion people label us of being. We have to take steps that says, you know what, that's not who we are. We're not ugly. We're not haters. We're not bigots.
Mm.
We're opposed to it, but we also believe that we're here to love and support
people. But it's not
people.
A personal value judgment. I mean, that doesn't solve anybody's problem.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that it has to be a decent alternative. I think for a lot of years, providing the alternative was seen as some sort of weird religious manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
If you offered to get them help or something like that, you're trying to force your religion on them,
right,
rather than talk about this as a life and death issue.
Yeah.
Somehow we lost the life and death part.
Well, that's because they forced their religion on us. You know,
this idea of
saying, you know, we're opposed to religion. Everybody has a philosophical base. Everybody has a worldview. And, you know, humanism is a religion. It is a philosophy of life on how people choose to live their life. So when people say, don't force your religion on me, what they really mean is, I choose to reject your values and substitute my values in their place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even a discussion about churches. It's a game of words in the media that I think we need to be smarter than that. It's just,
I think so, too.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of us are. We just don't know what to do about it.
Well, they don't. They're too hung up on not recognizing common ground.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much common ground we could all stand on, but instead we want to nitpick all these little differences and then have our own little ball field and play our own game.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come together. That's where the power is going to be.
And it looks too hard, and it looks like a bridge too far.
It wouldn't be hard.
You're going to have to go stand on the corner and hold a sign. That's all there is to do,
churches,
is hold a sign on a corner.
Churches are territorial.
Yeah.
They don't like to do something together because they're afraid that it might be promoting your church over my church.
Your guys might slip away.
Listen, no matter what our faith and our differences are, we can be fellow stone throwers on this issue, right? We can all be on the same side throwing rocks at abortion. There's no need for us to worry about the other issues. Mm-hmm. This is too big.
It's way too big.
Well, and supporting the alternatives, which I think it really downplayed. Organizations like CareNet,
right?
And Lifelight?
Lifelight, yes.
I think are played down. And I'm sure in everyone's community, especially big cities, there are lots of places, but you wouldn't always know. And the Planned Parenthood guys, don't tell them.
Right.
They don't give it as an alternative.
Right.
And that's always kind of an interesting thing to me. Why isn't there a rule that they have to give the other side, too?
Mm-hmm.
I guess because that...
Well, we were talking about this the other day.
That blows the program.
And I got to thinking, What must the rest of the world think of this country when they hear these abortion stories? Yes. I mean,
they think we're barbarians.
Well, they have to.
Really quick break, guys. Hold that thought.
I want to share a story that's pertinent to this.
You're okay, doing yeah, it. Yeah. Okay. You're on when we come back.
Okay.
We're here with Pastor Guy Asherman. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're busy running out of time yet one more time. Heard that in a while.
That's been a long time.
I know. It's like, welcome to church camp.
Yeah.
All right. So before we were so rudely interrupted by Bob.
Well, Bill had mentioned, what do other people in the world think of us? Because they're seeing those videos, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and in fact, I think even Congressman LaMalfa mentioned this on the rally, and that was that parts of the world call us the Great Satan, and in some cases, they're not wrong.
Yeah, that's kind of a good confirmation there.
It is. But I wanted to tell you the story that happened just recently. We sent a group of folks over to Kenya to do some work there. And they, while they were there, they spoke to 5,000 students in several different locations about abstinence, sexual abstinence, because HIV and AIDS is huge in Kenya, as it is in many African countries. And so we were there talking about abstinence. We were also talking about same-sex attraction, but God's Word says that we are to resist that and go with heterosexual marriages and relationships. So they were there for like 10 days teaching this to thousands of people, teaching it to pastors who wanted to know how they're supposed to teach their people. Well, they were there for 10 days or so, and they left on a Thursday of this 1 week. And as they were flying out on Thursday, President Obama was flying in. And the agenda that President Obama had was to convince the people of Kenya that they should support same-sex marriage. And so, you know, and the people that our group were in contact with in Kenya, they're there for 10 days, they're teaching, and we had people coming up to them, even high school students, saying, "What is wrong with you Americans?"
Yeah.
How do you answer that? You know, well, there is a lot wrong with us Americans.
Right.
And it's time to take it back.
Yeah, because that isn't what the bulk of people think.
I don't think it is either.
People are just, they don't know how to combat it, and they don't want to be mean to other people. But how do you oppose the idea without opposing the people? Right. And then, of course, it becomes like women's health. You know what I mean?
You hate women if you're against abortion.
Yeah, there's just this little twist all of a sudden, and you wind up in the crosshairs, and the issue is dropped.
Yeah.
All right, we're going down the morality trail with you again. We'll be doing this
Thank you for having me.
Off and on. Thanks a million.
Well, thanks for coming. We always enjoy it.
Good for a Sunday, you know what I mean?
Had sure.
Double lineup of pastors. And for those of you listening on Monday, we hope you enjoyed it on Monday, too. God works 7 days a week.
Amen.
I don't care what you've read. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. America.